the opera box.
Respiri una carrozza, presto, seguila dovunque vada, non visto, non vedi, sta bene, il compegno, palazzo Farnese.
Well, good evening and welcome everyone to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. KGNU's Opera Box is our newest addition to Monday Night Classical Music, and tonight my playlist features operatic villains. They do bad things and they sound great when doing them, such as Scarpia from Puccini's Tosca. I've also got music of Wagner, Verdi, Mozart, Strauss, and more. So join me for tonight's Opera Box program highlighting great villains of opera. That's the conclusion of Act One of Puccini's Tosca. And during a church service, the corrupt Governor Scarpia exults in his plan to force the beautiful Tosca to satisfy his lust to save her dissident lover, whom Scarpia intends to execute anyway. We heard Ingvar Vixel as Scarpia with Colin Davis conducting the Royal Opera Orchestra and Chorus. And it's just 5 minutes after 7 p.m. on a Monday evening. You're listening to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. And during the program, feel free to tweet me at Nadell_classical. That's Nadel_classical. You can also visit the KGNU Facebook page and be part of the dialogue. Yes, tonight's program is villains of opera. They're either lecherous, corrupt, power-hungry, treacherous, murderous, or demonic. Or some combination of those, like we heard Scarpia, who is corrupt and lecherous and murderous. Well, last week we heard one of opera's superheroes, Siegfried, from Wagner's massive four-part opera series, The Ring. Well, naturally, in The Ring, Wagner gives us one of the most evil villains, the power-hungry Hagen, who wants nothing less than to rule the world through the power of the ring. To steal the all-powerful ring, Hagen first must bring about the death of Siegfried. As I said last week, the plot of the four operas is so elaborate, it would take me half an hour to summarize it. But in the fourth opera, we meet Hagen, half-brother of Gunther, who's king of a people who live along the Rhine River. Well, Hagen plots to deceive both Gunther and Siegfried, so that Gunther believes he's been betrayed by Siegfried, and this would result in revenge and Siegfried's death, allowing Hagen to take the ring for himself. And in the soliloquy we're going to hear in Act One, Hagen is sitting there musing over his plan that Siegfried and Gunther may think highly of themselves, but in truth, they're just pawns in his plan, and they will bring him the ring.
Yeah.
Hagen's soliloquy from Act One of Götterdämmerung, The Twilight of the Gods, by Richard Wagner, part of Wagner's four-opera ring cycle. We heard Gottlob Frick as the evil Hagen. Boy, he really sounds evil. Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. It's 12 and a half minutes after 7 p.m., listening to KGNU's Opera Box with a playlist of operatic villains. Later in the program, we'll hear music by Verdi and Weber and Gounod. But our next villain is a comic villain, the lecherous Baron Ox from Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss. I think the difference between comic villains and dramatic ones is their plans usually backfire hilariously without really hurting anyone. But sometimes their intentions are just as bad. In Der Rosenkavalier, the old, rotund, boorish Baron Ox plans to marry the young, innocent Sophie. The Baron is a member of aristocracy, but he has squandered all his money. Sophie's parents are wealthy, but they want to be part of the aristocracy, so they've arranged for Sophie to marry the Baron. In Act Two, Sophie and the Baron meet for the first time, and he is just a big pompous oaf. He insults everyone, and a young man who loves Sophie, he's, of course, more her age, he tries to avenge her honor, taking a swipe at the Baron with a sword and nicking his shoulder. And the Baron cries murder and almost faints from this little scratch, and so there's general confusion, and the Baron is left alone with one of his hired matchmakers, and he's drinking sherry to calm his nerves. And as he gets tipsy, he's congratulating himself on this great arranged marriage, and he begins to waltz drunkenly around the room from Act Two of Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss.
Schon mein, nun schon habe ich mir für Füße in Gnade ein.
That's from the conclusion of Act Two from Der Rosenkavalier, the opera by Richard Strauss. We heard Manfred Jungwirth as the Baron Ox, and we heard Anne Howells as Anina, one of his matchmaker assistants. Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. It's 21 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Opera Box with your host, Ron Nadell, and my playlist of operatic villains. Well, Title IX compels me to give equal time to femme fatales of opera. Some of opera's greatest villains are women, not just the men. And so our next two sound clips, we're going to hear two such examples, The Queen of the Night from Mozart's Magic Flute and Lady Macbeth from Verdi's Macbeth. In Mozart's Magic Flute, things aren't as they seem, and they flip-flop from Act 1 to Act 2. In Act 1, Pamina, daughter of the Queen of the Night, is kidnapped by the mysterious Zarathustra. The queen requests help from a young hero to have her daughter returned. But in Act 2, we learn that the queen is actually evil, and the wise Zarathustra was trying to rescue Pamina from her mother's influence. Well, the queen does find Pamina, and in this aria, she orders Pamina to take revenge and kill Zarathustra. When Pamina refuses, the queen tells her she'll disown her, banish her forever. And then in Verdi's Macbeth, the murderously ambitious Lady Macbeth wants her husband to advance to the throne of Scotland through treachery and assassination. And in this Act One aria, Lady Macbeth is reading a letter from her husband, and she senses from his letter that his courage is weakening. So she decides she'll have to take matters into her own hands. Well, murder pervades both of these arias, and these arias are both murderously difficult for the singers, as you'll hear. The Queen of the Night aria from The Magic Flute and Vieni ta fretta from Macbeth.
Oh, please. vaticini uscito dalle veggenti stesse che predissero un secolo al capo mio. Racchiudi in corpo questo segreto.
Vieni ta fretta, where Lady Macbeth determines she has to take matters into her own murderous hands. That's from Macbeth by Giuseppe Verdi. We heard Fiorenza Casotto with Riccardo Muti conducting the new Philharmonia Orchestra. Before that, we heard the Queen of the Night's aria from Act II, Die Hohle Rache, with Christina Dutekamp as the coloratura with Georg Schulte conducting the Vienna Philharmonic. Mozart's Magic Flute has some really difficult music for the coloratura, as dramatic moments. Well, it's 33 minutes after 7 o'clock here on the Opera Box. Be sure to stay tuned after the Opera Box. We've got a Classic Monday with James Weiss this evening. The next femme fatale in our survey is Delilah from the opera Samson and Delilah by Camille Saint-Saëns. The plot of the opera is based on the well-known Bible story about the Philistine seductress Delilah and Samson, the naive, superhuman leader of the Hebrews. In this scene, at the end of Act Two, in a famous duet, Delilah seduces Samson, and he tells her he loves her. But she wants proof of his love. She promises that she will be his completely, and you know what that means, if he will reveal the secret of his great strength. Well, Samson is reluctant, and she says that it's clear he doesn't really love her, and he gives in, and he tells her that his strength comes from his hair. Triumphant and exultant, Delilah calls for the guards who take him away, cutting off Samson's hair and putting out his eyes.
Thank you.
Mon cœur s'ouvre à ta voix, the love duet and betrayal in Samson and Delilah by Camille Saint-Saëns. We heard the incomparable Christa Ludwig as Delilah, or Dalila, as they say in French. We also heard James King as Samson. Giuseppe Pattani conducted the Bavarian Radio Orchestra, and it's about 13 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock. To conclude our survey of operatic villains, we're going to hear two demonic villains, Kaspar from Weber's Der Freischütz and Mephistopheles from Gounod's Faust. Although the stories are different, both villains, it turns out, are servants of the devil. In Der Freischütz, Max is a hunter who hopes to win a shooting contest so he can marry the girl of his dreams. But his skill seems to have left him, and his confidence, he feels he will not do well in the contest. Kaspar has told Max that he can make magic bullets for him, which go wherever the shooter wills them to. Max agrees, but he doesn't know. This requires black magic and will cost him his soul. In this aria, at the end of Act 1, Kaspar gloats that his plan to deliver Max to the devil can't fail. And in Gounod's opera, Faust, the philosopher Faust feels that his life and search for knowledge have been meaningless. They haven't brought him love or happiness. He's just about to commit suicide when Mephistopheles materializes very abruptly, as you'll hear in the music. He tells Faust that for the price of his soul, he can give Faust ultimate knowledge, wealth, and women. Faust agrees. And Mephistopheles gives him a potion that makes him young again, and the two set off into the world.
Hey!
questa surprise. Ne suis-je pas mise à ta guise, l'épée au côté, la plume au chapeau, l'escarcelle pleine, un riche manteau sur l'épaule, en somme, un vrai gentilhomme. Eh bien, docteur, que me veux-tu? Voyons, parle. Fais-je peur?
Non.
Doutes-tu de ma puissance?
Peut-être.
Mets-la donc à l'épreuve. D'abord ce que tu veux, est-ce de l'or?
Que ferais-je de la richesse?
Oh, je vois où le pas te blesse. Tu veux la gloire?
Oui,
la puissance?
Non, je veux un trésor qui les contient tous.
And so Mephistopheles and Faust head off into the world. That was the end of Act One from Faust by Charles Gounod. We heard José Van Damme as Faust and the tenor Richard Leitch. I'm sorry, José Van Damme, the bass, was Mephistopheles, and tenor Richard Leitch was Faust, with Michel Plasson conducting the orchestra of the Capitol of Toulouse. Before that, we heard the end of Act One from Der Freischütz by Carl Maria von Faber. We heard Theo Adam as Kaspar, the evil hunter. Carlos Kleiber conducted the Dresden State Orchestra. Well, that's all the time we have now for opera. We'll be back again next Monday with some more opera on the Opera Box. Stay tuned now for A Classic Monday with James Weiss.
Happy birthday, KGNU Denver. Could a decade really have passed so fast? Join the KGNU radio community at our 10 Years in Denver anniversary celebration, happening Friday, September 5th from 6 to 9 p.m. at KGNU's Denver studio at 700 Calumet Street. Blues Legacy will broadcast from Denver Open Media's Studio A with Colorado Blues Society's Battle of the Bands winners, Eef and the Blues Express, jamming live on KGNU and on Denver's Channel 57. Neighboring nonprofits will have tables outside, where KGNU DJs will rock the parking lot while bubble soccer is played. Celebrate KGNU's 10th anniversary in Denver Friday, September 5th from 6 to 9 p.m., part of the Santa Fe Art District's First Friday Art Walk.
And good evening. My name is James. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Nederland. And you can always listen online, kgnu.org. It's a few minutes after 8 o'clock, so that means we are switching gears from opera into classical music and a classic Monday. So here's the game plan for today. I have two composers whose works I'm going to focus on, approximately 1 hour on each. We'll see how it all divides up. And two composers who fall under the radar of fame, which is no degradation to their talent, but not as famous as, you know, Beethoven, Mozart, and all those. So in the second hour, I'm going to focus on Walter Piston, an American composer. And for the first hour, I'm going to go back a few hundred years before that, at least 100 years before that, to the music of Johann Nepomuk Hummel, whose piano sonata we're listening to in the background. A contemporary of Mozart and Beethoven, but didn't get the same amount of fame. So we're going to go right into Oberon's Magic Horn, a fantasy, with Christopher Hinterhuber on the piano for this. So this is brilliant music, difficult to play, and should get you up moving. So the music of Johann Nepomuk Hummel. We'll be right back.